Tonight's the second in a three-part series on the afterlife. I would like to focus tonight on the concept of Tchiyas HaMesim, I guess, which is simply translated as resurrection. That word often, something like that. Those are the types of things that come to mind. Movies and spooky, out-of-the-closet type of things. I would like to show you how this is a concept which is very much fundamental to Jewish theology, and share with you the fact that this is something that's very much part of our understanding, very basic to Judaism, and something that we each articulate thrice daily, actually. Okay? In the beginning of Shemona Esrei, we conclude the third of 19 brachas that we say by writing, Baruch Ata Hashem Mechaye HaMesim. Blessed are you, God, who revives the dead. That is the third of the 19th brachos in Shemona Esrei. And why do I say thrice? If you read this bracha very carefully, you'll see that that word or that concept appears actually three times. Atag Gibor Le'olam Hashem, you, God, are almighty. Mechaye Mesim Ata, you are the God who revives the dead. First time. Second time. Melech Meimis Umechaye Umatzmiach Yishra, you, God, are the God who allows those to pass on and allow those to live. Mechalkel Chaim Bechesed, you calculate and organize life with much care and kindness and righteousness. Mechaye Meisim Berachamim Rabim, you revive the dead with much mercy. So three times in the second blessing of Shemona Esrei, you see the concept of Tchiyas HaMesim, resurrection of the dead. I would like to ask two questions. Three times, no. Here it says, Melech Meimis Umechaye. You are a God who allows to die and to live, but doesn't say specifically Tchiyas HaMesim. So three times in the second blessing of Shemona Esrei, you see the concept of Tchiyas HaMesim. I would like to pose two questions, which I'd really like to be the hallmark of the beginning of the class, and I hope to address and answer them by the end. The first is, this bracha, you're familiar, all 19 brachos have a particular name to them. If you look in any classic siddur, you will see the first bracha is called Avos, fathers, ends Baruch Atah Hashem Magen Abraham. The second bracha is referred to as Gvuros, strength, because it refers to something of strength of God. I'd like to know why this second bracha is called Gvuros. Why is it strength? What does strength, God's prowess, God's might, have to do with Tchiyas HaMesim, resurrection? What's the connection between Tchiyas HaMesim and Gvura, strength of God? Question number one. Question number two, why in this second bracha is Tchiyas HaMesim repeated three times? Seemingly would have been enough just to conclude, Baruch Atah Hashem, Mechaye HaMesim, blessed are you, God, who revives the dead. But why three times is this repeated? What's the message of this repetition of this concept three times? Those are the first two questions. As always, the first place to look whenever we discuss the afterlife and basic elements of Jewish theology is the Rambam. Maimonides, in the beginning of his introduction to Perek Chelek. Perek Chelek is a very esoteric chapter in the Talmud Bavli, in Maseches Sanhedrin. And as I referred to last week, the Rambam has 13 fundamental tenets of Judaism. We discussed one last week, that was Yemos HaMashiach, the belief in the day is of the Messiah, of Mashiach coming. The 13th of the 13 principles that Rambam articulates is Tchiyas HaMesim. Every Jew must believe that there is a concept of the resurrection of the dead, which we will discuss as we continue this evening. What is this? How does the Rambam understand Tchiyas HaMesim? So he writes two words. Kfar bi'arnua. We already explained it. Very cryptic language of the Rambam, two words. The Rambam then goes on and says that this is a fundamental facet of our religion. One must believe in it. It is basic to Jewish theology. But the Rambam never tells us what he means. What is it? What do I have to believe? What am I missing if I don't believe? And what am I believing if I do believe? And what am I saying in Shemona Esrei when I say, Mechaye HaMesim? To strengthen the statement of the Rambam, the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, in the third chapter of Hilchos Tshuva, in his Sefer Yad HaChazakah, tells that there are certain individuals who don't have a place in the world to come. We're all familiar. Yisrael, Kol Yisrael, Yeshlam Chelek Olam Haba. Every Jew has a place in the world to come, but there are certain individuals who lose that. The Rambam articulates 24 different individuals, very, very severe cases of a person who won't have a place in the world to come. And the Rambam lists, and one of those, that a person who is kofir b'tchiyas ha-mesim, a person who does not believe, who denies the resurrection of the dead, u'b'bias ha-gol, and with the coming of a redeemer, the Mashiach, those two individuals have lost their portion in the world to come. So certainly the Rambam, as you already pointed out, in the Yud Gimel Ikrim, the 13th of the 13 principles, tenets of Judaism, as well in Hilchos Tshuva, seems to have a very clear precept and precedent that Tchiyas HaMesim is very basic, although he does very little to explain to us what exactly Tchiyas HaMesim is. Now, when he says Kfar Bi'arnua, I already explained it, so it would seem to be that he's referring to only one line that he writes regarding Tchiyas HaMesim, some about a page earlier, again in his introduction to Perek Chelech. And listen carefully, it's about seven or eight words that I'm going to read with you here. Again, very cryptic, very short. The Rambam writes, Vida, one should know, Ki ha'adam yesh lo lamus behechreach. Everyone passes on. Every person is going to die. That is the way of the world. V'yis parade, and we'll move on, we'll be separated. And the Rambam continues, V'yashuv lama shehurkav mimenu, and we'll return to that which the way he was created. Those are the four words that are really the kicker here. V'yashuv lama shehurkav mimenu, and we'll return to the way that he or she was created. That's all the Rambam says regarding Tchiyas HaMesim. Now, the fact that the Rambam writes very little about Tchiyas HaMesim, as opposed to writing much about Yemos HaMashiach and a lot about Olam Haba, caused one of their great cause celebres of the 1100s. You're familiar that many of the books of the Rambam were actually burnt by his contemporaries. Many people felt that the approach of the Rambam in his works of philosophy were unfounded, ungrounded. This is one of the issues that caused a major revolution amongst the Rishonim. Some of the great Rosh Yeshiva living in Baghdad and in Babylonia then, when they read the Rambam, they understood that the Rambam did not believe in Tchiyas HaMesim. Now, why would one believe that? The Rambam writes that the 13th of the 13 tenets and the basics of Judaism is Tchiyas HaMesim. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva in the third chapter that a person who doesn't believe in Tchiyas HaMesim doesn't have a portion in the world to come. Why did they understand, or where did they glean from the words of Maimonides that he didn't believe in Tchiyas HaMesim? So many of his students began writing letters to the Rambam, trying to tell him and explain to him that many of his colleagues and contemporaries and great Jewish leaders throughout Europe and beyond understood that the Rambam didn't believe in that which he said. And the Rambam writes back and he questions, what do you mean? I told you. In Hilchos Tshuva, I say that you don't have a place in the world to come. I write here that it's the 13th principle and the tenet of Judaism is you have to. And students began to correspond to the Rambam and say, but you didn't talk about it. And you don't write anything about it. You don't explain anything to us about it. You explain a lot about Yemos HaMashiach. You explain a lot about Olam Haba. Yemos HaMashiach we spoke about last week. Olam Haba we'll speak about next week. This week is Tchiyas HaMesim. I need a shir. I need to prepare something. So if you look in the Rambam, you have very little information. So the Rambam was forced to write a masterpiece. He wrote something known as Mamar Tchiyas HaMesim. This was a letter that was written to the Jews of Yemen and in Teman, explaining his approach to Tchiyas HaMesim. This is about a 25-page work where he begins to describe what he understands as the Jewish approach to Tchiyas HaMesim. And in there he begins by saying, I have nothing more to add. Look what I write in Hilchos Tshuva. Look what I write in the Yud Gimel Ikrim. What do you want from me? So he says, it seems that you need a little bit more. So let me explain myself. And the Rambam begins to explain why he wrote little about Tchiyas HaMesim, about resurrection, as opposed to writing a lot about Olam Haba and Yemos HaMashiach. And he says something very, very important, and we're not going to completely understand it until we finish next week. But he says the following. He says, Yemos HaMashiach and Olam Haba are dvarim tivim, are natural things. That means the coming of the Messiah is something that's natural. That's what's going to happen. It's going to be an individual who's going to be given the title of Mashiach, like we discussed in the Rambam last week. All of Israel is going to follow his lead and the charge of the Mashiach. He's going to bring all the Jewish people back together. He's going to build the Beis HaMikdash. It's going to be an appointed individual who we all know and we all see. He will be born, and everybody understand that that's a natural thing. He will be a great leader. He will reinvent and reignite the Jewish kingdom, and everybody will come together under his reign. That's something b'teva. Says the Rambam, Olam Haba is the same thing. the concept of Olam Haba, that the world will have some level of a transformation, that Olam Haza, the world that we will know it, the world of physicality, at one point, at the end of 6,000 years, whenever the end of 6,000 years is, will see a transformation and will go from a physical world with minimal spirituality to a world of spirituality and minimal physicality, says the Rambam that that's something that's natural. We'll talk more about that next week in Olam Haba, how to understand it as being a natural law. But Olam Haba says is a natural law, it's something automatic and simply understood. Tchiyas HaMeisim, says the Rambam, is something that's yotzei min hateva. It's something that's not natural. It's something that we can't understand. It's something that's difficult to fathom, how somebody who is decomposed, a person who is not living, who is completely invisible almost, can be brought back to life. How could that be? How is that possible? We know of generations of Jews who were killed, al kiddush Hashem. Jews were placed in a crematorium. So to think that a Jew will be able to be manufactured anew and will look the same way, as the Rambam writes, is something that's startling, that's hard to imagine, that's hard to comprehend, that's difficult to associate with. Therefore, says the Rambam, you just have to believe it, and I can't explain to you how it works. And that's a very important concept, because very often we know that there's something called miracles and something that's called the natural world. The Rambam says, I can't explain to you miracles. So I wrote that it's fundamental to your belief system, to the Jewish belief system. You got to believe it, but I'm not going to get into great detail to try to describe, explain, articulate, verbalize, pen, because I can't. It's something that's out of the natural. That's the Rambam's explanation, the beginning of his explanation, in his Sefer, Maimar Tchiyas HaMeisim. The Rambam has yet a second answer to explain, to try to explain why he writes only a little bit about Olam Haba, a little bit about Tchiyas HaMeisim, as opposed to a lot about Olam Haba and Yemos HaMashiach. This is another very important point. Says the Rambam, and this is really where the Rambam departed from earlier Jewish thinkers, and especially the Mekubalim, the Kabbalists. The early Jewish thinkers, pre-Rambam, before the year 1050, and the great Kabbalists before the Rambam and post-Rambam, had a very different understanding of what Olam Haba is. The Mekubalim understood that Olam Haba is intrinsically tied to the next world. That means the Mashiach is going to come, the Mashiach is going to reinvent the wheel, quote-unquote, to create a whole new world where the Jewish people will be on top, where we will be in the lead, and everybody else will be subordinate to us. Says the Mekubalim, the Mashiach will revive the dead, the Mashiach will bring us to the next stage of existence called Olam Haba, and all those things are wrapped up together. It's like one package. We'll call it the afterlife, and there's Tchiyas HaMeisim you could throw into the soup, you could throw Olam Haba into the soup, you could throw Tchiyas HaMeisim, Olam Haba, and Yemos HaMashiach. It's all one big conglomerate, essentially, and we'll call it all Asid Lavo, the end of days, the end of life. That's the approach of the Mekubalim. The Rambam distinguished, and he says that's not the case. Just like we explained last week, that there's the Rambam's position is like the Shmuel, who says, "Ein bein olam hazeh limos haMashiach ela shibur malchios belvad." There's no difference between this world and the next world, except Yemos HaMashiach will be when the Jewish nation is on top, but the world will still exist the way we know it. Like we said, you'll go to work, you'll go home, you'll eat, you'll sleep, you'll do all the ordinary things that we're familiar with in the times of the Mashiach. The Rambam says, I have another difference. Yemos HaMashiach is not intrinsically connected to the next world. Tchiyas HaMeisim is not intrinsically connected to Yemos HaMashiach and Olam Haba. Tchiyas HaMeisim could come at a separate point when Hashem wants Tchiyas HaMeisim. It has nothing to do with Mashiach. It has nothing to do with Olam Haba, the way the Mekubalim understood it, or the way philosophers before the Rambam understood it. But Tchiyas HaMeisim comes when Hashem wants it to happen. If Hashem wills Tchiyas HaMeisim before Mashiach, that's a possibility. If Hashem wills Tchiyas HaMeisim post Yemos HaMashiach, that's also a possibility. It's possible also that Mashiach will himself be the cause of the revival of the dead of resurrection. But says the Rambam, that it doesn't necessarily have to be that way. Yemos HaMashiach is in the hands of God. When Hashem wants that to happen, it will happen. But it has nothing to do with the conglomerate that we described, that big chicken soup that has Yemos HaMashiach, Tchiyas HaMeisim, Olam Haba. The Rambam said fundamentally that's not the case.
Does he mean that we don't know or that it hasn't yet been determined?
The Rambam understands that it's Hashem's, because of the way that the Rambam understands Tchiyas HaMesim, which is that it's otherworldly and it's not something we can understand. Therefore, you can't tie it specifically to Mashiach. Mashiach is understandable. Olam Haba is understandable. Mashiach, Tchiyas HaMesim is up to Hashem. It could happen tomorrow. It could happen tomorrow night. It could happen in 250 years.
Has Hashem already decided when it will happen?
That we don't know. That the Rambam says. We do not know. That is unclear. The one thing that we do know, according to Mikubalim, as I mentioned last year, that according to the classic understanding, prior to year 6000, again, depending on the calculation of 6000, Tchiyas HaMesim will occur. That's the classic understanding. According to the Rambam, that's not the case.
And I'm sorry to be so ignorant, but don't what's be. The source of Tchiyas HaMesim? Where do we see it?
The Rambam, that's the next question I'm going to address.
So it really could be out of order. It could be.
According to the Rambam, and this is where the Rambam really departs from classic Jewish thought. Prior to the year 1050, all Jewish thinkers understood that Tchiyas HaMesim is interconnected and interlocked with Olam Haba and Yemos Mashiach. The Rambam took a left turn, and he said that's not the case. It could be a totally different approach. That's the Rambam's opening to understanding Tchiyas HaMesim, and that is really the way and the point of departure from the Rambam from other Jewish thinkers. But explains the Rambam, that's why I don't write a lot about it. All's well with Yemos HaMashiach and Olam Haba, because they're not connected. That's why I didn't write about it in Parak Chelek. That's why I don't write about it in Hilchos Malachim, where I write about Yemos HaMashiach, because who says that they have to be together? My understanding is different. So therefore, the question that you posed to me, that I write so much about Yemos HaMashiach, and I write so much about Olam Haba, and I don't write anything about Mashiach, it's understood. Because they're not connected, and it's a different understanding. Or, alternatively, there is something that I can't explain to you. It's a nace, you have to believe it. Just like we know, God created the world, how, why, where, what. That's something that we believe, that Hashem is a borei, Hashem created the world. Bereishis bara Elokim. How, why, what, where, when. We can't answer all those questions. The same way you believe that, you also have to believe in Yemos HaMashiach. That's the Rambam's approach. The Rambam continues in that essay, and he asks two very important questions. One of the questions was the one that you asked, and the Rambam says, I have to say something new, because otherwise, what's my letter worth? I have everything else written. So he says, I'm going to ask two very important questions, and he gives two very fascinating answers, and certainly very fascinating for us as well in terms of understanding Jewish theology. Question number one, there are many psukim in Tanakh, specifically in Iyov, the Rambam says, that seem to point in the direction that we don't believe in Tchiyas HaMesim. Psukim seem to indicate that people die and they won't come back to life. And the Rambam shows numerous psukim in the end of Daniel, psukim in Yechezkel, and psukim as well in Iov that say, Yamus Adam Hayichya, a person who dies, will he live? Asks the Rambam, the Torah seems to, if anything, say the opposite of Tchiyas HaMesim. So how do you understand Tchiyas HaMesim? Asks the Rambam. Second question that the Rambam asks is, if there really is such a thing as Tchiyas HaMesim, why doesn't the Torah tell us? It should be written just like many other things. Tell us about Tchiyas HaMesim. If not in Sefer Bereishis, then in Shmos V'Yikra B'Midbar. There are plenty of places, but tell us that there is going to be a Tchiyas HaMesim. Those are the Rambam's two very important questions, and I would say really the crux of the entire piece that the Rambam writes is these two questions.
Going to be for Jews only?
So I'm going to talk about that also. If there's time, if there's not enough time, we could do that next week. Yeah, it's a good question. So how does the Rambam deal with those two questions? The first thing that the Rambam says is similar to what he said in the latter chapters, is that the Torah talks about things in the natural world, teva. The Torah talks about rain. The Torah talks about sun, the moon, and the stars. People live, people die. The Torah is a book of teva, of nature. Yes, it's true we have miracles in the Torah, but the miracles are things that people saw, that people witnessed, that occurred. But the Torah doesn't treat the miraculous as the everyday and as the norm. It's something that's out of the norm. Yetzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, the Man, those are things that are all out of the ordinary. Those are Nisim. Says the Rambam that when the Torah portrays and explains something, it only explains things b'teva, only explain things that are within nature. Something that's without of nature, the Torah doesn't go into great detail to explain. For example, the Rambam tries to prove his point. When the Jewish people are in the Midbar, in Sefer B'Midbar, and they're lacking water. So what does Hashem say? Go speak to the rock. And then later instead, Moshe hits the rock. And the people say, Hamina Sela Hazeh Notzi Mayim. Is any water going to emanate from this rock? So the Rambam says clearly the people, the Torah, the Jewish people in the Midbar, they didn't live with miracles. That's something that's out of the ordinary. The same way that the Torah writes, "Aminasela notzimaim," will water emanate from this rock? The same thing is true regarding Tiches HaMeisim. The Torah also says, can it really be that the dead will come back to life? That doesn't seem like something that's natural. Therefore, the Rambam explains that Teva, nature, and the natural world, that is the focus of the five books of Moshe, Chamisha Chumash Torah, as well as Tanakh, and therefore the Torah never goes into detail trying to explain how such a phenomenon could be. The same way we believe that there's nature in the natural world, and things can also be recreated, just like water ultimately came out of the rock, so too we also believe the same thing could be true with Tchias HaMeisim, that the same thing will come and happen. And if you're familiar, those are miracles. Those are things that happened. They occurred. But Tchias HaMeisim occurs in Tanakh in one place, in Yechezkel. The dead are brought back to life, where we've learned that the Haftorahs we've seen. To Parshas Vayera.
With the
Yes. So the Rambam explains that times when it happened, the Torah reports, but the Torah is not going to go out of its way to explain the importance or that there is Tchias HaMeisim because it's something that's out of the ordinary. When it happens, the Torah describes it. The story with Isha Shunamis, when her son died and Eliyahu breathed on the boy and the boy came back to life, that's Tchias HaMeisim. So we do have aspects and incidents where we do have recordings of revival of the dead in Tanakh. But the Torah is not going to write psukim that indicate that this is what's going to happen. And if anything, the Torah indicates the opposite happens because that's natural for death. And it's not natural for the Torah to write about death and the reoccurrence of somebody coming back to life unless it actually occurred. But it's the second question of the Rambam that, if anything, is more important possibly. And the answer is also startling and really allows and leaves room for a lot of food for thought. And that is, why doesn't the Torah tell us about Tchias HaMeisim? And here the Rambam says something that's really, to me, was very refreshing and new. And that is, the Rambam says that people aren't ready to hear about it. The Torah doesn't describe to us Tchias HaMeisim because they wouldn't be mekabel. It's too hard to explain and to describe in the Torah for somebody to believe in something, to understand something that's so foreign, explains the Rambam, that later on in history, when the Jewish people began to have a deep, founded faith in God, and they saw the Exodus, they saw Kriyas Yamsuf, they saw Kabbalah Satorah, they saw the 40 years in the Midbar, how they're able to stay alive and to continue living and breathing, and the miracles that occurred to them, that later when the Navi and prophets describe situations and cases of Tchias HaMeisim, at that point the Jewish people can say, such a thing is feasible. So it's true the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, the five books of Moshe, never articulate, explain, talk, describe, detail Tchias HaMeisim. That's just because the people weren't ready. But once the people were ready and they were at a stage communally and nationally and as a people, at that point it's possible, says the Rambam, that that's only why later in the prophets and not even in Yoshua and not in the mid-Shoftim when the story of the Isha Shunamis, at that point the people are ready to understand. What was striking to me about this approach is certainly when dealing with people and certainly dealing with communities and certainly dealing with each other, you have to know when the right time it is to say something, to do something, to explain something. And the fact that the Rambam leaves room to teach something and to explain something from God, and this is God talking in the Torah, should I write this? Should I tell this to people? Should I not tell this to people? I think leaves a lot of room for thought in terms of growth, personal growth, movement, what I can do, what I can do. And this I thought was something that was quite interesting that the Rambam seems to detail. What I do believe begins to emanate from this understanding of Tchias HaMeisim, and again, this is really in the worldview of the Rambam, is that Tchias HaMeisim is something that's unnatural. Tchias HaMeisim is something that's out of the ordinary. Tchias HaMeisim is something that is not easy to grasp and not easy to understand. And it's not something that's easy to tap into and to explain to somebody else. That's why the Rambam doesn't articulate, expound, or expand upon it. That's why the Rambam says you have to believe it, but he doesn't go into great detail to explain it. And I think with this background of the Rambam, you could begin to understand a little bit more about the original questions that we asked. As you're familiar, we said in the second bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, we concluded by saying, Baruch Atem Hashem Mechayei HaMeisim. And I explained to you that the second bracha is referred to as Gvuros, strength. Clearly, the great strength of God is in a place where we can't even understand something. Things that aren't easily explained, things that aren't easily to explain in the natural world. We could understand that it rains, we could understand that it snows, we could understand that there's birth and childbirth. Those are incredible things that take place. We get used to them, they're natural, they're regular, they take place day to day. Our kids grow and life goes on and things continue. And there are many things that take place in our day to day life that are miraculous, but we're used to it. So we don't necessarily see the gvura, the greatness of God in everyday living. But it's in something that we can't understand. It's in something that we can't explain. That's where you see God's strength. And it's specifically here in Tchiyas HaMeisim, which is something that's so unnatural, which is something that's so hard to grasp, something that's so hard to understand. Logically, to express this or to explain this to somebody is so difficult. That's where you have to call Gvuras Hashem. And this is the reason why it's a topic that's not spoken about much. It's a topic that's not really dealt with much. And when you use the word resurrection or you talk about revival of the dead, so people's eyes begin to turn because we can't understand it. But it is a precept. It's a basic tenet, according to the Rambam of Judaism, of Jewish theology and Jewish philosophy. And that shows the greatness of God, and that shows the greatness of belief in Hashem is when you can't explain something and you can't understand something. So we do know that there's something that is going to occur, just like life began in this world with Bereishis Bara Elokim on day 1 through day 6 and day 7, and we know that that took place. We also know that at the end of 6,000 years, which is the equilibrium to the first 6 days of creation, and then day 7, which is Yemos HaMashiach, 7 is Shemitah, 7 is the end, so the same thing will happen, but we can't explain it, and that's the Gevura, that's the greatness of Hashem. But the Avudraham, one of the classic commentaries on the Siddur, one of the Rishonim, has a very beautiful idea to explain why Tchiyas HaMeisim appears 3 times in this bracha. And he says, although the last bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Mechaye HaMeisim, refers to the Tchiyas HaMeisim, the resurrection, the revival of the dead, in the end of days, the first 2 Tchiyas HaMeisim refer to things which take place even when we're alive. The first Tchiyas HaMeisim, explains the Avudraham, is what we refer to as Gvuros Geshamim. The fact that there's rain, rain comes down, and rain allows plant life, vegetation, to live. Without rain and without sustenance from above, we all are familiar, the drought took place in Los Angeles some months ago. The country is you know, Los Angeles, the state is famished, and it's famine, and it's dangerous. That's something that's very, very problematic. So rain is a source of life. Rain is a source of prosperity. Rain is a source of possibility, of growth. The first Tchiyas HaMeisim, says the Avudraham, is referring to the resurrection of plant life, of the vegetable, of vegetables, of plant life, and the entire vegetation process. So if you see that, says the Avudraham, and if you see something in this world that is dead and that comes back to life, you could begin to fathom and understand and believe that the same thing could happen in the end of days as well. The second Mechaye HaMeisim that's being referred to in this blessing, the Avudraham explains, it's man himself. Man goes to sleep every single evening, and man awakes in the morning. And in the morning we say, HaMachazir Sheinai Me'ena Usnuma Me'afapai HaMachzir Nishamos Lifkari Meisim. When we wake up in the morning, the Jew is revived, the Jew is refreshed. We went to sleep. The Gemara says that sleep is considered to be a 60th of death. And the same thing takes place on a daily basis, that we have our own form of Tchiyas HaMeisim, that we have our own opportunity to recharge, to energize ourselves, to wake up, to be recreated, and to be refreshed. And the same way that that takes place in the vegetable or animal life, in the plant life, and takes place one organism above, and that's in man himself in this world, and man is able to be refreshed and to come alive as well. In the same way we see in this world that there are 2 new beginnings for the plant life, and again for man, comes to teach that the 3rd thing is also a possibility. Even though it's gvuros, it's greatness of God, at the end of the day, there also will be a final gvura as well, and that's why the Avudraham explains that this blessing, that this bracha specifically fleshes out Tchiyas HaMeisim 3 times.
Then what does he mean by Umekayim and Munas Leishanei Afar? What does that refer to this?
That's referring to the same thing, that God knows that even when we are alive, that it's difficult, it's hard to understand, it's hard to explain.
I'm referring to
those who are
real death or waking up in the morning.
Real death. As far as I understand, it's real death, yeah. Again, the whole bracha is referring to that, you know, to death. As I pointed out in the past, the Rambam's 13 tenets of belief were mimicked or copied or patterned later on, some centuries later, in the Animamins. We're all familiar with the 13 Animamins that are found in almost every Siddur following Tefillah Shacharis. As I mentioned before, I believe the Rambam never actually wrote these 13 Animamins, but they are patterned after the Animamins of the Rambam. The Rambam, when he writes the 13 precepts, never writes Animamin, but a later author used that very poetic language to articulate. And the reason he put it at the end of the Siddur and after Shacharis is because the Rambam's precepts and principles are so important, we want to live them. So I'd like to read you the 13th, which is the final, based upon the Rambam. Animamin be'amuna shleima, I believe with complete faith and trust, shetihye tchiyas hameisim be'es shiyale ratzon me'es haboris baruch shemo. Which means as follows. I believe with full faith and trust that there will be a resurrection of the dead. Interesting, notice this, in the time that it is appropriate for God to do so. Which lends to the approach of the Rambam that has nothing to do with another person or individual, particularly the Mashiach, but it's up to Hashem. At the time that Hashem wills, desires for the resurrection of the dead to take place, that's when it will take place. And as a result, Hashem's name will be granted and recalled and remembered forever. So here you see again how, practically speaking, on a belief level for every single Jew, including us, that belief in the resurrection of the dead is part of the 13 precepts. We have to trust that that is the case, whether we can understand it, which the Rambam says is beyond our comprehension. But at the end of the day, this is something that should be fundamental to our belief system. At the same time, should be uplifting for us as well to recognize that this is what is going to happen. There is another aspect that I'd like to discuss of the Rambam, some more of the intricacies in Tchiyas HaMeisim, and I like to do that first by trying to explain that very cryptic language of the Rambam that I referred to earlier, where the Rambam writes, "Da, one should know, ki ha'adam yesh lo lamus behechreach, that man is destined to pass away, v'yispared and be separated, and return to the way that he was created." Those four words are really the focus. V'yashuv lama shehur kavimenu. We have to ask ourselves a very basic question. Why? Why is this the way of the world? Why did God will it this way? Why is there a setup that there's going to be such a thing at Tchiyas HaMeisim? How come this is the way it's supposed to be? The Mekubalim explain, and many understand, that the way to approach and understand Tchiyas HaMeisim is very similar, I guess you could say colloquially, to a seed. When you plant a seed in the ground, so you know a seed doesn't just sprout and grow. Anybody who's ever gardened, or if you watch your kids' science projects, and when it goes in the little plastic cup, what happens to the seed? The seed decomposes, and it's completely finished. And it's specifically at the point where it's most decomposed, when exactly it is completely, looks like life is completely finished, that's when the sprouting begins. That's when the sprouting process begins. I don't remember elementary school that well, but I remember that I think a caterpillar, tell me if I'm wrong, works the same way. The growth of the caterpillar, it's when the caterpillar is basically finished. And when the caterpillar is eventually and essentially non-existent, that's when the cocoon begins, and that's when the caterpillar begins to come back to life. If I'm wrong, you please don't shout it at me now. But I think that is.
We're not going to argue.
I'm almost sure if I remember correctly. I think that's the way.
But the seed, once they sprout, then you're saying then they decompose.
So no. First is decomposition. The seed, you plant
seed. The seed is gone.
Then
the sprout
takes
over.
And then it sprouts.
Exactly. Okay. So I think the way that many Jewish thinkers understand and explain the concept of Tchiyas HaMeisim is very similar to the seed and to the caterpillar, for lack of better terminology, but sometimes when you talk in these worldly terms, it makes things understand better. That death is not an end in and of itself, but it's a process of regrowth. It's a process of bringing back to life. It's a step in a direction of regrowth. Now, that is what we believe. That's what it says. Mechaye hameisim. So why does it happen like that? Why is it created like that? We have to recognize this is basic, very basic to to Judaism, that death is not the end. It's not the end of a process and everything stops there. The basic precedent that should emerge from these three classes, and I hope to speak about this more, is that it's not the end. It is the beginning of a new process. Just like the caterpillar starts again and the seed grows after decomposition, the same thing is true with burial, and that's why Jewish law takes burial very, very seriously. Kvura, bakarka, burial is something that we take very seriously. The diktuk, the care and concern of proper burial, is for this very reason. Now, you'll ask me, how does it work? Somebody, unfortunately, we're not always able to bury people. That's one of the brachas that we have been benching. Hatove Ametiv, that we thank Hashem for the Haruge Beitar, that they were not only were they able to be found, but we were able to bury them. And burial in Judaism, if you read stories from the Holocaust and the Crusades, the efforts that Jewish communities put into burial is for this very reason, because we understand it as a regrowth process. Now, this is not to say that a Jew who was placed in a crematorium, Chalil, is not going to have Tchias Amesim. That's not the case. That's when we say, how does it work? I can't understand. It doesn't make sense. It's difficult to comprehend. And we say, Gvuros. It's beyond our understanding. It's the Gvuros, the strength of Hashem. And we know that somebody also will have and will find a place. It's said that a person actually every person will have a place in Tchias HaMeisim. The Rambam has a Chiddush. To answer your question, the Rambam seems to indicate that Tchias HaMeisim is for tzaddikim, for people that are worthy. Now, what does that mean, people who are worthy? Tchias HaMeisim is a regrowth, and it's an allowance for a person to relive in an even more perfect way. If Yemos HaMashiach is the world of perfection, and it's a world of, let's say, more spirituality than physicality, this individual will now be placed back into the world to set up a situation where he or she will able to perfect themselves even more. That's Tchias HaMeisim. It's an opportunity to live life to the fullest and to be able to fix, to correct, and to try to do all the things that I wanted to do in a world that was much more physical and less spiritual, where the tug of war was much more difficult to win, in a world where more spirituality will arise and will exist, that is a place where I can fix and I can correct and I could do much good.
So if someone dies during Yemos HaMashiach,
is that... I'm gonna talk about that now. It's a very interesting question.
I was always told that the mitzvahs that you did in this world were the only ones that counted.
As opposed to
anything and
Olam Haba. So I'll talk about Olam Haba next week, between Olam Haza and Olam Haba. You are correct.
So the mitzvahs. So like if you came back, mitzvahs, amazing. Will those sort of build on the ones that you have?
Yes. Yes. Very good question.
Okay.
I think I'll finish with these two points. They're okay. Important questions, and we'll pick up next week with Olam Haba, which I think will. The Rambam again departs from the Mikubalim and the Jewish thinkers prior, like I said, to 1050. And the Rambam's approach and position is that there will be Tchias HaMeisim, the people will live again and will die again. Because the world of Tchias, it's a circle. Yes, that's Tchias HaMeisim. Tchias HaMeisim is a more physical world than a spiritual world. That's where the Rambam and the Mikubalim and the Rambam and the thinkers before the Rambam parted ways, because the Rambam is of the approach that Tchias HaMeisim and the world of Yemos HaMashiach are more or less the same. It's a physical world. The same way somebody comes back to this world, will eat, will drink, and will do all physical things, that means that a person will die again as well if Olam Haba doesn't come yet from the time that that person is brought back to life. That's the approach of the Rambam. This is also a point of contention where most Jewish thinkers argue on the Rambam. And certainly before the Rambam wrote his treatise Maimar Tchias HaMeisim, and all Jewish thinkers thought that once Tchias HaMeisim occurs, once the resurrection takes place, that is it, and you've already hit Olam Haba, and there will not be a quote-unquote normal world anymore. No man will die again, but the resurrected will stay, will live, and will continue ad infinitum until the Olam Haba, and then the whole world takes on a different form, and that's what we'll talk about next week. Yeah, I'll take a few questions.
Until Olam Haba or until something else?
Olam Haba, I'll talk about that. Olam Haba in the world of the Rambam and in the world of the Mekubalim is the end, is the finish. Yes.
So it seems like when I've always heard about Tchias HaMeisim, he was talking about all all people.
But it sounds like the Rambam is not saying that. It sounds like more like Gilgul Neshamot. Like
yeah, so it's
like
not
one by one.
Yeah, so it's not Gilgul Neshamot. The Rambam.
Talk about that?
I don't know. I don't know. But I will point out that there is confusion between what we call resurrection, reincarnation. Those are two different concepts.
Wait a minute.
No. That's a Jewish concept. Absolutely, it's a Jewish concept, very well sourced. But I'm not talking about that tonight.
My question
will happen. That's the Rambam's approach. Rambam's
approach.
Yes. That's absolutely correct. But the Rambam seems to indicate that there's a difference between what he calls Gvuros Geshamim, which is a form of Tchias HaMeisim, which happens throughout the world, and Tchias HaMeisim, which is special and unique to the righteous. But it's not. I'm sorry. I don't know if I answered your question.
is it one by one, or it's not? It doesn't sound like it's talking about everybody. It's talking about like more.
Yes, but it will take place at the same time. The season of Tchias HaMeisim will be for everybody. Who will be resurrected and who will not be resurrected is still a point of contention. Most of the Mikubalim.
If you're talking about it happening over and over again, then it's not.
Oh, you're saying the cycle. Yes, that's correct. That's true. Yeah, but again, the difference in the place of departure between the Rambam and everybody else is again, like you said, we understand that everybody and most understand that everybody sees a Tchias HaMeisim. The Rambam said it's only for tzaddikim. Who are tzaddikim? Everybody's tzaddikim. We're not tzaddikim. That I can't answer. So we'll pick up next week with Olam Haba.
It's like we're careful to bury pieces of people.
Yes.
What
did
you say?
We bury all parts of a person. Yeah. Somebody Khalila is at terror attacks. There are organizations that go to pick up blood.
Important where you're buried. A lot of people say they want to be in shamas that are similar like
right,
that.
Right, that's already a more halachic discussion, but there is, in the last week's parsha, Parsha's Vayechi, Yaakov asked to be buried by Kibri Avosai, from his parents.
So it's important where you're buried to be other than shamas that are similar.
Yeah.
I think you're going to need a fourth class.
Fourth class? I don't mind.
Yeah, but they had to be here now.